This is quite difficult because we've taken a lot in this morning, I think, haven't we? I can almost say amen and go and sit down. Okay, Nikki. You've stolen some of my thunder, but that's fine. There's nothing better than having something re-emphasized. Absolutely. Just as an introduction, when I was teaching in the prison in Scotland, I took an English class, and one of the stories that we studied, now don't laugh about this, but this, I want you to keep this story in your head as I speak this morning, and I'm going to try and be brief, but the story was about turkey roll. Okay, so you've got all these prisoners looking forward to their Christmas lunch. They were going to have a full Christmas lunch. When they got into the place where they were going to eat, they got turkey roll instead of turkey. And it caused a rebellion. Okay, Richard knows where this is going. If you take real turkey, put it through a process, it comes out as turkey roll. It's not turkey. It's turkey roll. It is not the real thing. Now, I just want you to keep that in your head. John's looking at me a bit confused. But it's about how we as Christians often go through a process, and what arrives at the other end isn't what God intended it to be. Okay, just keep that in mind. Now, it's a really difficult subject for me, this prayer. I mean, those of you know me, I'm quite a doer, not a beer. And I know some of you are really sat here. Kim's looking at me. and John and I, throughout our marriage, if Nikki had asked me to preach or to teach or share, I like the word share, on hospitality, I would have jumped at it. Ever since John and I have been married, we have been keen to open our home out to people. When we were first married, before we had children, we had a wonderful array of people living with us. The homeless, people with mental health problems, and at one point, even a murderer. We didn't know he was a murderer at the time, but okay. In India, when we were there, we opened our home to any student that would come, and most of them actually were the naughty ones that nobody else wanted. So that was our ministry there. And those of you who know me, know us from Scotland, we actually fostered over 27 children, 30 children, I think, altogether, sometimes six at a time. So our home has always been open. So Nikki, I would have loved to have done hospitality and talked about that and the impact that has on your life. But you asked me to do prayer or fasting. And my first reaction to prayer was, no way. No way am I going to do it. Now, those, again, who know me, if you come up to me in church and say, I need prayer, I'm there, like a shot. I'll pray for you. I'll ask for God's wisdom and discernment as I pray. No problem. In a small group, I can pray. And very occasionally, if I feel like it and feel led, I will come up in church and do a prayer. Now, I was brought up as an Anglo-Catholic, and the only prayers I knew until I was 18 were liturgical prayers. Never had I said a prayer out loud in my life. So I've come a long way. Or have I? Or have I just learnt or tried to put into place a methodology or process which has missed the main point and foundation of prayer? So I'm going to share about my life and my prayer life. I have always found it really difficult in my personal prayer life to be consistent. I have read books. Do you all remember O'Hallisby Prayer, first book you read on prayer? Yes, I do. And yet, even with the best will in the world and prayer lists, I've forgotten them. I get an email, please pray for me. Oh, okay. I'll do the washing up and then that's gone. And this has resulted to some extent in guilt, self-condemnation, and a strong feeling of inadequacy in my Christian life. Now, most of you that know me will think that's ridiculous, but it's true. It's absolutely true. John is the most consistent prayer I know. That doesn't help me because that makes me feel guilty as well. Now, we're going to hear a lot about busyness in the next few weeks, and that's a little bit of a hindrance to have a really good prayer life, and I get it. But because I'm retired, you'd think I'd have all the time in the world to pray. Don't believe it. I still would rather be doing something than being somebody. So for those of us who are doers rather than beers, maybe I can help by sharing this a little bit. I've also realised that those of us from an evangelical background have been taught certain disciplines to work into our everyday lives. Now, keep thinking about turkey roll when I talk about this. We've been told to do a daily quiet time, and we've been told to do a daily prayer time, which consists of, not necessarily in the right order, worship, praise, petitions, thankfulness, confession. We read the Bible and we maybe journal. I've journaled for years. We say our prayers, all good stuff in themselves. We have a pride in our achievement and consistency, and maybe look down on other Christians who haven't conquered these habits. It doesn't matter if we lead shallow lives for the rest of the day, maybe make poor choices, and not involving God in our leisure, our spending, and our finances, as long as we've done our duty. Now then, so what has this book, what has it done that had a profound impact on me? I'm going to quote a few things. Now, those of you who want Bible verses to back up, Ed, what I'm saying, they will come at the end, okay? This is what he says. You can't just slip your hand up at the end of a sermon. Yes, I'll follow Jesus. It's not like that. It's a high bar of entry. It will require you to reorder your lives, your entire life, around following Jesus as your undisputed top priority over your job, your money, your reputation, and everything. It means being with Jesus, making our home with him as the early disciples did. The key to everything is that we need to let our bodies become God's home, practicing habitual, conscious communion. And that is the thing that impacted me more than anything. We need to practice the presence of God all the time by being intentional. We need to find that quiet place. Now, that doesn't mean it's a place, it's a practice. We need to stop hurrying. Don't waste your life on trivialities. We are not in control. It's not a question of mastering the right technique to become a perfect person. Now, no rule fits all. We all take into account our personalities, our age, our circumstances. But it's about allowing Jesus to form us into his likeness It is a way of life. It is not a religion. We've sung about that, about dealing with that. We have to rely on the indwelling Holy Spirit to be the source of our transformation, not our willpower or good ideas. We embrace, I love that word, we embrace what God has done for us and yield to his transforming power in our lives. Now, this will automatically change our prayer life. As we become aligned to the will of God, we now can pray effectively as we go about our daily lives. So we need to change our attitude. Practice solitude with God. Maybe give up unhelpful habits. And this is true of me. I'm terrible on some of these. Social media, time spent watching telly, on the phone. What that actually means is, in a nutshell, we need to die to self. I think all of us are basically selfish. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. We need to stop being self-indulgent and submit to God and his ability and wish to transform us. So this is how it's helped me. It's taken the pressure off. It's taken the pressure off me to perform in the way I have been taught. It has opened up a new and exciting way to view my prayer life. Now I wake up every morning, thank Jesus for his presence in my life, and make a point, intentionally, of consciously acknowledging him through the day. I'm excited about living a different way, acknowledging Jesus' presence in my life. And this has been a horrible week. I mean, it's funny, you're going to share in church and then everything goes haywire the week before. And I've been in all sorts of circumstances where I've, and John will witness to this, that I have been quite anxious. So I've had to make a double effort, a real double effort to put this into practice. Because the first thing, when I'm anxious, I get ill. And I, please Lord, I can't go there. But I am more alert to the Holy Spirit, empowering me to pray expectantly, in faith, and aligned to God's will. It is an exciting journey, and I've only just begun it. So, I told you I wasn't going to be long. So let us all examine where we are. And again, it's tied up with just about everything that's gone on this morning, I think, really. Make changes if we need to, and witness a new dimension of power in our personal and corporate prayer life. And that's where I want to leave it. But now, Ed, you're going to put up the Bible verses which will support, I hope, what I've said. Okay. This is Matthew 6:6, and this is all from the Message, okay? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Matthew 6:7-8. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. Steep, Matthew 6:33, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provision. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Romans 8:4. Instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Romans 8:6. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. 8:26. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. And very often, that's where I'm at in my prayers. These days, I'm not necessarily saying very much. Okay. Is that the last one?
That's the last one.
Okay. We don't want to be processed and end up what God never intended us to be. We have to be the genuine article. And that's my heart. Because I've been through that process. I got converted at 18. Never said a prayer in my life before then. And was straight away told what I should be doing. I never thought about it. I just did it because people knew better what I should be doing than I did. And I adopted a lifestyle and a practice that has somehow, I don't know what the word is, it somehow strangled my spirit. And because of that, this book really did speak to me. And do you know what? I feel so much lighter and so much better. And I don't have to conform and perform anymore. That doesn't mean to say I'm not going to pray. Of course I am. It's going to be a whole different ballgame. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to pray for other things, especially open doors and all things like that. Of course I am. I'm not going to just wait and see what happens. But somehow it's a different dimension. Can I try and get that through? It's a different dimension. So I want us to finish with a hymn from my past. When I was a child, I loved this hymn. Ian loved this hymn. He can't play it, but he loved the hymn. And it's one that keeps cropping up in my mind. And I think it says a lot about change, which is what we've been talking about today. Okay. Thank you.